I've enjoyed the singing.
Amen.
All day. I mean, this morning, tonight, it's just been good. And I want to say I've enjoyed preaching and getting to see you all. And I love for Brother Joe to go off. So he'll call me to fill in for him. Thank you, Brother Joe. He's a good man. But hey, he owes me. I performed at him and his wife's wedding.
Amen.
Yeah. You got a
an
angel.
Yes. Amen.
I told somebody that I married an angel. I said she's always up in the air harping about something. That was my other wife. Yeah, they both jewels. And God has been so good to me. When Miss Jean was living, she was a godly woman, was a good preacher's wife, and the Lord seemed fit to take her home when she was 66 years old. And so God gave me another good lady to be my wife. And she is a blessing. All right, I've enjoyed, again, let me say thank you for all the nice things that you've said. And let's see, where is Miss Ruth? Oh, I couldn't see you back there. I need to get my glasses adjusted, I guess, a little bit. Just want to make sure you hadn't slipped out on me. But open your Bible tonight to the 22nd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. If you got a Scofield, it's 864. And if you don't have, it's your fault, not mine. And they've got some nice, if you don't have a good Scofield Bible, they've got some good ones back there in the library, and you can get you one. They're real reasonable. I never seen them any cheaper than what those are. Good looking Bibles. Amen. So, we begin reading with verse 23, and I'll read the rest of that chapter. Ezekiel 22 and verse 23, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed. I think, let me just pause right here to say that this scripture could apply, we know it's talking about Israel, but it could apply to America today. So, listen to what he said. Thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profane among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. That's God talking about the condition of his people, Israel. And I wonder tonight, as we think about this scripture, I wonder what God really thinks about America today. We have drunk enough booze in America to float a battleship. We've killed over 40 million little babies. And we've rejected the Word of God. And they have preachers that won't preach against sin. They won't say anything about the ungodliness that's going on in our land today. Women marrying women and men marrying men. That is abomination in the sight of God. And so, my friend, when we begin to read the Word of God, you can see what God thought about Israel. He said, I'm looking for a man that will stand in the gap and do a job for me. There is a scarcity of men today. I hate to say that, but I got to be honest and tell the truth. We don't have many men that will stand up for the right and stand against sin and ungodliness. Not many preachers are doing that today. I believe that we ought to have a backbone like a saw log, stand up and be counted for God and believe what this Bible teaches us. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, he said, there is one God. One mediator. The man, Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus is our mediator. And he pleads our case, and he loves you and I, and we ought to love him with all of our heart. Amen. And so, the Bible said, there is one God and one man, one mediator between God and man, the man. I want you to notice that statement there, the man, Christ Jesus. He was a man. He was a very specimen of a man. He had all the characteristics of a man. And he stood for what was right. And I'm telling you, when I think about that, I'm so glad that I've got a God like that. I'm glad that I'm not worshiping some man or some makeshift of some kind of a God that man has brought together. I've got a living God that this Bible talks about today. And so it's wonderful. And let me just say some things about this man. I want to major on him tonight. Because he is deserving of our affection. He is deserving of our love. And he is deserving of our faithfulness. He is deserving of us holding him up. Because Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, Jesus Christ needs to be lifted up. I know he's talking about the cross, and they put him on the cross. Thank God he didn't stay there. He paid a price for your sins and for my sins. And then when he paid that price, they took him down from the cross, put him in a new made tomb, and he stayed there 72 hours and came out and said, "I'm he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. Now that's my God tonight. Woo. Boy, I'm telling you, that thrills me to have a God like that. But let me give you some things. I got a lot to say and not much time to say. Amen. I don't keep you here till the next service. But Jesus was the anointed man. He was the anointed man. As he was baptized in the Jordan River, the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit descended upon him and lit upon his shoulder in the form of a dove. And there was a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. He always pleased. And so I'm saying that that he is the God-man. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man. And he was capable of taking your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world, and God put it upon him, and he took his righteousness and put it upon you and I. And brother, you and I, because of that, we have salvation that'll stand through this troublesome old world. Hallelujah. So he was the anointed man, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But secondly, he was the victorious man. He was victorious. You see, he met the devil after his baptism. He went into the wilderness there, and he met the devil, and the devil tested him 3 times. But Jesus whipped the socks off of that booger. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Yeah. Hey, we got a victorious God today. Yeah. Our God is victorious. He's a victorious man. And so the Bible said the devil tempted him 3 times, but was beat each time by the Word of God. See? I mean, this book will work, folks. If we'll use this book, it'll work. It'll work on the devil. Or he'll try to quote some scripture once in a while, but he never gets it right. Jesus met the devil, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, Jesus had need for 40 days and 40 nights. Now you can imagine. I mean, there's one subject I never preach on, and that's fasting. I need to. Your pastor needs to. I know a lot of us could stand to preach on fasting. But I just don't preach on it because I'm too guilty, I guess. But Jesus had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Think about that. And the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now I got news for the devil. If Jesus is the one that made biscuits and ham and eggs out of it, he could have done it. But he didn't do it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is the word of God today. And so he took him out there. And he put him on the temple of the city, the highest part, and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil took him out there in the wilderness and put him on a high mountain. And he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you will just worship me. Now, I'll tell you something. It wasn't the devil's place, no way. He didn't have control of giving nothing. The devil won't ever give you anything except heartaches. Everything that he gives you is bad. The devil said, I'll give you the whole kingdom of the world. I know you've heard this, but it wouldn't hurt nothing to pitch it in right here. The devil and God was talking one time and said, the devil said, you think you're something because you made man out of the dust of the earth. He said, I can do that. God said, you can't. He said, sure. God said, go ahead and make a man. And the devil got down there and started piling some dust together. God said, hold it, Satan. Get your own dirt. That's mine. I'm telling you, he didn't have. The devil don't have anything except heartaches and trouble and sorrow to give to you today. So I want to tell you, God whooped the devil. Jesus whipped the devil and beat him in the wilderness in the temptation. And so each time he used the word of God. I like the word, don't you? Amen. And then not only was he a victorious man, the anointed man, but he was the preacher man. Sermons. You've never heard any preaching like Jesus preached. Amen. He was the preacher man. Amen. He was the preacher. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. You ever read that? Oh, that is a tremendous thing to read. The Sermon on the Mount in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, and six, and chapter seven, and chapter all the way through chapter seven down to chapter eight. This was a Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached to his disciples and to the people that were there. And he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Amen. And then he said something else that comes right down to you and me. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You're the salt of the earth. Did you know that's what he's saying about everybody here tonight? You're the salt of the earth. But he says, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall we be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. If the church loses its saltiness, if it loses what we're supposed to be, we're good for nothing. So I want to stay faithful to God. I want to be the Christian that God wants me to be. And so the Bible said, this Sermon on the Mount, and he said it's good for nothing. I'll tell you something else he preached there in this scripture. He preached repentance. A lot of churches don't preach that no more. A lot of preachers don't preach that no more. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. You know it's the truth. He said, "Except your righteousness." Listen to what he said now. Over there in the book of Matthew, he said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter in." Except you repent. Repentance is a turning from sin and turning to God. That's what repentance is. And he said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." I'm saying to you today, he preached repentance. Oh, how people need to hear that message. How people need to hear what the Lord Jesus had to say when it come to the time of repenting and getting right with God. If there's ever been a time that we just need people to repent and turn from sin and turn to God, I'm telling you, it's needful today, folks. It's so needful that we preach and believe in repentance. And he said over in Luke, he said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And so, not only that, but he was the healing man. I'm talking about the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about some preacher. I'm not talking about some fanatic or some religion. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about the preacher man. Amen. I'm talking about the man, Christ Jesus. Right. He was a healing man. He healed all manner of disease. Right. You say, "Preacher, you believe in divine healers?" No. I believe in divine healing. There's not but one healing,
Amen.
Divine healer, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all these others are as phony as a $3 bill.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we need to call it like it is. Thank God we have a healer. He said if somebody's sick, call the church together. Let them pray over them and let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I'm telling you, my friend, he healed all manner of disease. He made the lame to walk. He opened blinded eyes. He healed Peter's sick mother-in-law. He raised the dead. He cleansed the leper. No case was too hard for him. I'm talking about the healing man. Fifthly, he was the God-saving man. Yeah. He saved. If you're saved today, you didn't get saved by joining some organization. You didn't get saved by joining a church. You didn't get saved by going through the baptistry. You didn't get saved by turning over a new leaf. You didn't get saved by doing anything except trusting Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Oh, I rejoice in the fact that I can stand before you tonight and lift my hands and say, hallelujah to God, I'm saved. Not because I'm good, not because I'm better than you. I'm just a sinner. Saved by grace. That's enough to turn out recess and just have a shouting spell. Amen. Because no case was too hard for him. He was the healing man. He was the God-saving man. He saved a fallen woman taken in the act of adultery. Over there in the 8th chapter of John, this woman was brought before Jesus. And the Pharisees said, what are you going to do about that? She was taken in the act. And Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. And they kept asking him, and he raised up and said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And he stooped down and started writing again. I'm going to tell you something. You say he put his approval on the sin. No. He didn't put his approval on that. He never has put his approval on sin. Never will put his approval on sin by you, by me, by anybody else today. He doesn't approve of sin. But you see, the thing that's so wonderful, that bunch of Pharisees, they thought they would trick him. When they brought this woman. If I understand this thing correctly, he said she was taken in the very act of adultery. Takes two to commit adultery. And where was the man? I want to tell you tonight, there was phony, their complaint was phony as they were. And that and Jesus knew their heart. He knew why they were doing what they were doing. And so he said, he that's with among you, let him cast the first stone. And they all went out one by one. And he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? She said, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
Amen.
Boy, what a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. He saved that fallen woman taken in the act of adultery.
Amen.
He saved the woman at the well. She had been married 5 times. And the woman, the man that she was living with, was not married to him. So she had 5 husbands, and the one that she was living with, she never even bothered to marry him. And so the conversation went on. And Jesus said, I wish you'd give me a drink of water. She said, the Jews don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. He said, if you'd ask me, I'll give you living waters. You'll never thirst again. And you know the conversation that went on in the 8th chapter, the 4th chapter of John. And the Bible said, Jesus, in the course of time, she said, Lord, give me that living water. Give me that living water. And she went into the city and she told everybody she seen, come see a man that told me all things. Is not this the Christ? I'm telling you, she got saved. She got forgiven of her sins. And I'm telling you, he saved that woman at the well. He saved the man possessed with demons who lived in the graveyard. Oh, I'm talking about the saving man. I don't know what your life was like before you got saved. It doesn't make any difference. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ can save the vilest sinner today.
Amen.
That old boy.
Amen.
Lived over there in the graveyard. I can't imagine people living in a graveyard. I'd walk a 30 mile around the graveyard. I never did like graveyards. I never figured out why they build fences around them. Those that's out not wanting in. Those that's in can't get out. So why do they need a fence around a graveyard? I'm telling you, he saw that old boy over there in that cemetery. They tried to bind him with chains and tried to make a Baptist out of him, I guess. But it didn't work. The Bible said that those demons, there was a herd of swine out there in the field, and those demons asked him to give them permission to go into that 2,000 head of swine. And Jesus said, go. After he cast them out of that man. Can you imagine one man having as much as 2,000 demons in him? Anyway, he said, go. And so those demons went in those swine. And those swine ran down that steep hill into the Sea of Galilee. And I don't find this in the Bible, but somebody told me this. Said those hogs committed suicide. But the demons swam out on the other side and started preaching water baptism for salvation. So, he saved the man that was possessed with demons who lived in the graveyard. He saved Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He saved many, many more. He saved me. And he saved you if you're saved.
Right.
No preacher, no pope, or any one else can ever save you. It takes Jesus to save you from a life of sin. Only Jesus. And then not only that, not only was he the God's saving man, but he was God's dying man. Jesus didn't come to live. He didn't come to make bad men good and good men better. He came to die. He was the dying man that died on Calvary's cross in order for you to be saved. You'd been lost as a ball in high weeds if it hadn't have been for Jesus taking your place on Calvary. He was the dying man. Then they kept him in the grave for 3 days and three nights. 72 hours, if you please. And he was the resurrected man.
Amen.
He come out of that grave. He walked out of the grave and he stood on resurrection ground. And he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore.
Amen.
And I'm telling you today, he is a living God today.
Amen.
He is the ascended man. He carried a little band of disciples out on the side of the Mount of Olives. Overlooks the city of Jerusalem. And he said, tell you what I want you to do. Go back to Jerusalem and tarry there until you're endued with power from on high. Then ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken those words, gravity loosed hold of him. And he started ascending up. And they were there gazing into the heavens. And they watched him as he went up. But behold, two men in white apparel stood by him and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus that you see going up will so come in like manner that he went away. So he's the ascended man. He is the mediator man. Did you know he's seated at the right hand of the Father today, tonight? He's there and he pleads your case. You can call on him any time of the day or night and he'll hear you.
Amen.
If your heart's right with God, he'll hear you. I promise you. Oh, I'll tell you, it's been such a privilege to pray and to call on God and to know that if God hadn't have heard your prayer and answered your prayer, it would have never been done. And I'm glad that I can tell you that Jesus hears and answers our prayer.
Amen.
So, he is there as an intercessor. The devil goes to God and says, oh, Brother Ray Lindsay, oh, Brother Joe Shelton, they're no good. Jesus said, they may not be worth much, but they've trusted me as their Savior.
Amen.
They're my Christian men.
Amen.
And I'm telling you that today. He's the mediator. He's the one that goes between you and I. I don't have any right, I don't have any privilege to go to God in prayer unless I go through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that talk about God. Now let me tell you something tonight. If you think that you're going to bypass Jesus and go to God the Father, you is whistling Dixie. Because you ain't going to get nothing unless you are willing to come to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Did you know the Bible said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man, no person cometh unto the Father unless he comes by me. So you're going to go through Jesus or you'll never get there. He is the mediator man. And last of all, he is the coming again man.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he's coming back. I don't know, we was talking about it today. You believe the Lord's coming? Yes, I do. I believe it's closer today than it's ever been. I don't claim to know when he's coming. And if you ever hear anybody tell you that they know when he's coming, may as well chalk them up as a liar, because they don't, nobody know when he's coming. But I can tell you this, when I read this Bible, I can understand that Jesus said these words. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, the imaginations of men's hearts were continually evil all the days of their life. So, he said, so shall it be also when Jesus comes back again. And then another place in the book of Luke, he said, as it was in the days of Lot, it would be like it is today when he comes again. So, what's it like in Lot? This is an age, and I never dreamed when I was growing up that there would ever be a day when men and women would be so flamboyant or something like that. Unashamed of homosexuality. Say, preacher, you ought not to say things. I believe it needs to be preached myself.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach it. If you don't think God hates that thing, you turn over there to the first chapter of the book of Romans and read that first chapter of Romans, and that ought to convince you that God hates that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Listen to this, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And for this cause, watch it, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You can read the rest of that. But I'm telling you, God hates sin. Sin is rampant today. And it'll never get any better until Jesus comes back and straightens this mess out. But he's coming back. He's going to take us in the rapture. And we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Then we'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll be there while tribulation period's going on here on this earth. And then after the marriage supper of the Lamb and the tribulation period over, the church of the living God is going to saddle up white horses. And Jesus is going to be on a white stallion. He's not going to be on a little donkey like he rode into Jerusalem one day. But he's going to be riding a white stallion. And he's going to come back to this earth. And he's going to put the devil on the chain gang. And brother, he's going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem. And he's going to rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 glorious years. And you know the good part about it is, if you're saved, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. Hallelujah. And oh, I could just go on and on and on, but I know I've given you enough. Are you going to be in that number when the saints go marching in? I hope you are. I hope there's not a person here that belongs to the church that says, well, you know, I'm not, I don't know where I'm saved or not. Hey, you can know that you're saved. If you're not sure that you're saved tonight, make a trip down here at this altar. Take the word of God. Let somebody show you how to be saved. And you can be saved and know it. And your life will show it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Preacher.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight.